The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
Produced with podcasting gear from Tascam. Trust your audio to Tascam. Sound thinking.
This show brought to you by Jersey Ninja. New items added weekly, superior quality products, excellent selection, competitive pricing, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. That's Jersey Ninja at jerseyninja.com, your source for great quality hockey jerseys and performance wear products. To another episode of Wookiee Radio. It is the Smugglers 3, Ken, Derek, and myself, Mike. How you guys doing?
All right.
You know, not too bad.
I was just thinking as the theme song was playing, I was trying to remember what we used to do before we had that song.
I think we've had that since the beginning, though, haven't we?
No.
Real close.
No. Actually, I have it. Tell you what, I'll load it on the soundboard for next week. And bring it up again next week, and we'll play the original intro next week.
That means he's got to remember this.
Oh, no. I'm going to fix the outro, too, because J7 was telling me, why don't we record him doing his little bit and go right into the song. That way, if he wants to shut down early in show, he could shut down, and I could just trigger it without him.
So all this editing stuff, is this going to be like you updating the website?
Yes, it's coming soon.
Hey, Derek,
I promise.
Signing a lightsaber.
It is beyond the motivation, believe it or not, is coming to get the site updated. I'm probably going to do it without individual show logos first, just so I could get the content up and I could go back and redo the art later.
Because you had 3 months sitting at home not doing anything, but you didn't have time.
I know. Well,
now that you're getting ready to go back to work,
you got. It's hard to explain suffering from depression, which I know is not an excuse, and having ADD, which now ADD, no one has ADD anymore because ADD doesn't exist. It's ADHD.
Oh, it's the same thing.
I know.
What's the difference?
One's attention deficit disorder and the other one's attention deficit hyperactive disorder. But now it's all ADHD. So if you were to be diagnosed ADD, they're going to label you ADHD. They just want to do one label. They don't want to do split labels anymore.
It's all the same treatment anyway, so it really didn't matter.
Well, that's kind of lazy, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Like you said, you get the same treatment either way, so.
Yeah.
They tried putting me on medication for that, for my ADD. Oh my God, it was horrible.
You got to find the right one is what it is. But I got lucky. They got me the first time through. I got the right side.
They put me on something. I was on it for 3 days before I said, yeah, no more. Cause it felt like, oh, there's a car in front of me. I should hit brake. The car's getting closer. I should really hit brake. It was like bogging down my mind big time.
And you had the wrong side. They got to try the other one.
Yeah. I said, no.
That's like, well, the classic one was always Adderall or Ritalin.
Yeah.
They work two different ways. So it's like, and then all the drugs are either in the family of one of those two.
Yep.
It's like, which one works for you, that then you just find the right medication in that family.
I said, you know, I've dealt with this almost all my life. It wasn't until I was like my early 40s before I was even diagnosed with ADD and they wanted to start treatment. I'm like, no, I've gone this long without, I'm going to continue without.
That's the thing. ADD is one of those things that it's much easier as an adult figuring out how to deal with it. As a kid, it's really hard to tell a kid how to deal with it.
Right. Well, whole other story. But yeah. For me, the way I deal with it is I actually went back and started drinking.
Started drinking.
Well, that's okay. I rarely drink alcohol, folks. I really do. I rarely drink alcohol.
I'm the same way.
It's a celebration, and it has to be something to celebrate. And believe it or not, in my 25-year celebration, or the Disney Service celebration, Melissa and I were going to toast the 25 years with champagne, and she was actually going to join me as well, because she doesn't really drink at all, period. But she'll do champagne or vodka drink. Well, everything was open bar. She was driving, even with as early as it was. We weren't going to do that. We were going to do the champagne as soon as we got there. Well, we missed the bar that had the champagne, so we didn't.
Yeah.
So this was the first of, let's see, 10, 15, 20, first of four service celebrations that I did not have any alcohol at. And you and all the others has been, I've had, well, my 10-year, I had a couple of the celebration cocktails because they were good. Ever since then, they were horrible. It's like, I'll take a champagne cocktail, please. Or the celebration cocktail, please. Take a sip. It's like, yay, happy celebration to me. And pitched it. Because the stuff is like, I had the cocktail for the celebration and that's it. This time, it's like, we drove by it. She's like, you want the celebration? I'm like, I ain't drinking that nasty crap. That tastes like Banter poo, dude.
Yum.
I said, we'll get the champagne, not realizing we passed it two bar counters back. But I do have, because I was going to bring it up this week anyway, but I'm going to let our listener who left us a voicemail bring it up.
Wait, we have a voicemail?
One of our listeners.
Wait, we have a listener?
We have several.
You know, two technically counts as the several.
That's true.
Okay, we have more than two.
We have three.
And a half.
And a half.
So, here's the voicemail, baby.
Michael, Ken, and Derek. Dora B. Yeah, been quite a while. Just got the recent episode of Wookiee Radio in my ears on a Sunday afternoon. A little later in the afternoon, coming on evening. We just stepped in the daylight savings time. Got some thoughts where Vince 3, the Smuggler's 3, was recapping the first four episodes of Season 3, Bad Batch. And this here's some of my thoughts and some of RFB's nitpickies from comments that I heard. Firstly, the biggest one to me, and it took going somewhere a little bit later in the week, I think it was Friday, to the Star Wars Data Bank, where they've been putting out info fairly regularly soon after episodes drop, some of the new things we've seen. My nitpicky is firstly to Mike, the card game on the planet Lao, which was mentioned by Captain Man. That was the Imperial captain that booted the Trandoshan to play a few rounds against Omega, where she soundly whooped him. The name of that game, it's not any relation to Sabacc, not even remotely. It is, the name of the game is Baylons. Baalans. Has a 30-card deck. All the info's up on Wikipedia with some really neat behind the scenes.
Okay, so I'm going to pause this right here. This is what I was going to bring up. My initial thought was, oh, it's a new version of Sabacc and the new deck. Because we've seen that. Because the only, prior to this episode, I only knew of two different card games in the Star Wars universe. There's Pazak, which...
Hello, Pazak.
Have you played Pazak, actually?
Yep.
Because they're... No.
You play it in KOTOR, but...
Right.
I made it into a real game with a real deck of cards.
Really?
Like a couple of 252 card decks. And it wasn't exactly the same, but it was kind of the same. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, I know on Apple devices, you'll have to check to see if it's available on Android devices. There is a Bazaar app. And I play on my phone and on my iPad.
I forgot about that one. It's been a long time since I played KOTOR.
Yeah, that was I used to play with my friends with like regular cards, and it was fun.
I would love to find a Sabak app for the mobile devices. It's just not there yet.
How do you spell Pazak?
PAAZAK.
There is a Pazak Cantina card.
That's it.
Card game.
That's it.
I'm going to have to check that out.
It's very rudimental, very basic, but you could play the game easily. I mean, it's a great way to play the game. Hmm. Like I say, I play quite often. And then the only other game I knew was Sabak, which right now what's been shown or talked about canon. And of course, we had the guys from the Outer Rim Sabak Facebook group on the show and found out they are turning over the reins of that group to the owners of Hyperspace Props, who we've also had on the show, who I'm going to be reaching out to them to actually get some metal dice to go with my Sabak deck from Galaxy's Edge after seeing the nice metal dice that you get with the deck from Star Cruiser, or that you got at the Star Cruiser. I'd rather have actual metal dice than the plastic ones that came with the game. So I was only aware of that. So I immediately assumed that it was Sabak. It was a new variation, because we did see a different card style in Rebels when they meet Lando for the first time.
I had a feeling that it wasn't, though, just something.
Yeah.
I had a funny feeling when I saw the three sunsets. I'm like, okay, maybe this is just another variation of the game for here. But to continue on with Rural Farm Boy, or RFB, go ahead.
Before you do, I just want to say I like that they have introduced another card game. It's nice to know that, you know, it's a small little tiny section of Star Wars, but it's nice to see that kind of branching out.
And I'm going to put this out there. As soon as I see this deck available to be bought online somewhere, I will buy it. If it ends up being made by Disney to sell in the parks, I will get that too, because I am now very interested in the different card games in the Star Wars universe. Because one is something easy to pack and carry in my backpack wherever I go. It's like, you want to play a game? Well, yeah, well, you want to play poker? Go for it. No, we're going to play Sabak. You want to play Carillion Spike, or you want to play Coruscant Shift? So to continue on.
It was the production team that came up with the idea that game. Full set of rules, and as they were making the episode and coming up with the details of it, they fine-tuned and played several rounds of that game.
Which is what they also did with Sabak for Solo, if you guys remember us talking about that, too. Sabak had always been out there.
Up to that point, we had never seen Sabak played. We'd heard about it, but that was it.
Correct.
And actually, if I remember right, the only place we heard about the actual word Sabak was in the old EU books, the comics. It was never actually in any of the movies.
I believe so. Yeah, it was never played in any of the movies. We didn't see it on screen for the first time until Solo. Of course, in Solo, we see it twice.
Yeah.
So, to continue on.
And they put it in the story and told it to us. Yeah, I definitely would have to agree that was a Rathtar. I'm still one of a smaller handful, it seems to be anymore. Still hanging around in the Star Wars Twitterverse. I got a Facebook, but you won't find me on it by my handle. And I got a Threads, but I don't really go there. Also got an Instagram, which I just bounced back and forth with Michael with some messages today.
So, yeah, that was his thoughts.
Cool.
I've been thinking of checking out Threads, but
I've thought about it.
I don't really. I'm bad enough on all the other ones. I don't know if I need to start another one.
Yeah, I got Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and Facebook's the only thing I ever actually do anything on, and it's just to let everybody know when I'm doing something.
Facebook is more personal. I don't do anything with the shows anymore on Facebook unless I post something on Instagram and it just happens to automatically hit my personal Facebook page. Other than that, I'm about ready to shut down the Weeby Geeks, Wookiee Radio, and Mighty Marvel Geeks groups and Facebook pages on Facebook. But I'm afraid to, because I'm afraid to, because I've had issues in the past with Weeby Geeks where other people have used the name in other variations.
Right.
and I just leave it up for to protect the brand. I really do. That's the main reason. That's the only reason why, like on Instagram, yes, you will find Wookie Radio at Wookie Radio, all one word, and Wookie _ Radio. Why? To protect the brand. So, it's to me, those are the only two official ways to do it. I know I could go Wookie.radio, but so yeah.
So that was it. That was it from the phone call.
That was the it. The correction about the game, which I was going to come on this week and openly admit, no, it wasn't Sabak. But I got called out right around the time that I called myself out. I got called out by RFB. So I'm going to give him the credit of calling me out. And that's okay. I appreciate it.
Call out Mike. Because Mike, we got these awesome soundboards here. You're an audio engineer and you still hold your phone up to the microphone to play a voicemail.
Because I have physical therapy today and I just didn't think about
it's called cable.
I didn't think about
plug your phone into the bottom of the board and it's got a slider for that spot.
I know. I just didn't.
You can even hook it up Bluetooth to these things.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't.
Yeah. But anyway, I was going to say, I enjoyed hearing from him, and that was nice. It'd be nice to hear. Even though, you know, it doesn't always have to be a correction, but it's nice to hear from our listeners.
But, you know, I don't mind the corrections either, because we're not perfect. Yeah,
no.
And we never claim
my wife that
we never claim to be experts either. Well, we claim to be fans.
I'm an expert, but maybe not in Star Wars, but in some things. That's all. And I don't know. I don't know what I meant there, but never mind. Anyway,
he was going somewhere.
I'm not sure.
He was going somewhere.
He was going straight down the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, really.
Like I said, never claim to be experts. We just claim to be fans. And as fans, yes, we all have specialties on things. I specialize a lot in the music and the forms of media that the stuff's produced on, be it VHS, Laserdisc, DVD, Blu-ray, etc. And then lately, anything involving Galaxy's Edge, Star Cruiser, and now Disney Park merch, I'm slowly specializing more in that since that's more what I'm collecting. Still not really an expert.
But anywhere near the parks.
What's that?
That and the rest of us are nowhere near the parks.
True.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm hitting. That's where a lot of my specialty lies. To go into the books and whatnot, that's where I rely on you guys, because you guys have hit the books harder than I have.
Well, more Ken than really.
And it is more Ken. But
and that's when my brain will actually work enough to pull up the ideas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, none of us claim to be experts on anything. It's just we all have our little niche of what we like in the universe.
Yep.
And it's those niches that we bring together to hopefully bring an entertaining show.
I think we're experts in sitting down and talking about absolutely nothing of any importance for an hour and a half.
There's that too.
Which we've definitely done.
So, but I will say, speaking of importance, where did it go? There it went.
Before you move on, we got that voicemail from Rural Farm Boy, but why don't you let everybody know how they can leave voicemails for us?
Best way to leave us a voicemail. And you could do like Rural Farm Boy did. Just use your phone, record the voice note, and email it to us at wookieradio@gmail.com. Mm.
And yes, you too can have your email or voicemail played from Mike's phone right in front of the microphone.
It's because we're top notch here. I've only been in the entertainment industry 30-something years and an audio engineer for...
Well, it gets even worse because you actually had a... if he sent it that way through email, you have no excuse for not having it on the soundboard. You're already in the computer.
You're right. I have no excuse.
It's not like it was actually on your voicemail.
And see, unlike many other people out there, I can make fun of myself as well. There's a lot of podcasters, not in just the Star Wars podcast realm, in the podcast world in general, who cannot admit they make mistakes or cannot make fun of themselves.
That's all we do is make fun of ourselves.
I could do that.
Over the years of doing this,
we rib each other all the time.
Years now doing this, we've not stopped making fun of each other.
Yeah, we rib each other all the time.
And our promise to you is we never will.
We'll never stop.
I'll promise you, it'll never be in mean spirit.
No.
It's going to be a lot of ribbing.
Yep.
Some news for us to say that they are now one with the Force. Michael Culver, Star Wars Empire Strikes Back actor, passes away.
Oh, I saw that earlier.
He had a career spanning 50 years with notables like Sherlock Holmes, A Passage to India, and Secret Army, and had one of the most memorable death scenes in the Star Wars franchise. He was in Star Wars, Captain Nita.
Ah, okay.
So, our condolences to his family, to the Culver family.
Oh,
there was another one we lost. I'm looking up his name right now. I don't remember off the top of my head.
I want to say it was Michael Dodson.
Maybe it was. I know it's the voice actor from Salacious Crumb.
Oh,
we have a moment. There we go. Let me search IMDb real quick.
It was Michael Dodson. Yes. He was the voice of Salacious Crumb. He also voiced creatures in Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
Yeah.
What creatures?
Well, he was the voice of the Mogwai
in general. I know.
The funny thing is, we don't talk about him much on here, but it's been a while since I just tuned in just to check it out over at RFR. And they actually had an interview with Michael from like 2018 that they were playing a little bit about how he actually got cast as Salacious Crumb.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He actually, I guess he was working as a laborer in like 82 or something like that, up at when they were building the ILM building. He was and he wanted to get into the production side of the films, but he started as a laborer because he knew he could be there and get so people could get to see that he's there, you know?
Right.
Right.
And I guess he did impersonations and stuff all the time and like parties and stuff. So people were like, well, you should go talk to Ben because you're actually pretty good at this.
He was also a Nima scavenger in Force Awakens.
Okay. But I guess Ben did have him come in to read for Return of the Jedi. And he was was trying to read for. So he gave him a description. He was reading for the part of Ackbar, the voice of Ackbar.
Interesting.
And he said he was so nervous. He had the script in his hand. He couldn't even see the script because he was shaking so bad.
Wow.
So eventually he told Ben, Ben's like, dude, take your time. Just relax. We got plenty of time to do this. Don't worry about it. But eventually he's like, hang on. And he walked away from the mic and did basically a version of what eventually became the cackle for Salacious Crumb. Off the camera or off the mic, off to the side, checking out. And Ben's like, as soon as he came back, Ben walked from around the podium, walked and took the script out of his hand. And he thought for sure, oh, I'm done. He's going to tell me just go home. I'm done. He's like, no. We're going to play with that for a while. So instead of Ackbar, he became Salacious Crumb because Ben Burtt just loved that laugh the way he did it.
Oh, it was a great laugh.
Yeah.
Well, starting with the announcement today, and it's going to be like this through at least the rest of this month. I don't know how much into April it's going to go. Lucasfilm and Disney are doing Imperial March events. And this week, it was announced a Black Series Jedi Fallen Order 3-pack. And it has Second Sister, Cal Kestis Inquisitor version, and Purge Trooper with Electro Hammer. And this will be an Amazon exclusive. Also coming Vintage Collection on Amazon, Entertainment Earth, and of course Hasbro Pulse, Captain Enoch and Thrawn's Night Trooper 4-pack.
Cool. Does it come with information about who Captain Enoch really is at all?
No. It's just going to have the figures.
He looks kind of cool, but that's about all we know.
Each one is a unique helmet and suit deco. This would be a cool set to get. I'm considering this set because it's a different variation of Stormtroopers. It's Thrawn's Night Troopers. I still say closest we're going to get to Death Troopers. The original concept of Death Troopers is right here. Also, too, a new Darth Vader inspired by the appearance in Star Wars A New Hope. It will come with two alternate hands and his signature red blade. And of course, also a non-ignited lightsaber hilt as well. This one I am seriously considering getting just because of the options, and it is kind of some new features and some new hope. Plus, I had the Tantive 4 playset. This would be perfect to have on that playset, along with a Stormtrooper. And it's, I This one, again, based on the appearance in A New Hope. So it's going to hopefully have more of the helmet shape used from that film, because the helmet did change slightly from New Hope to Empire and even to Return of the Jedi. So I would definitely be picking up a couple of these Stormtroopers and the Vader from this. And well, I'll just say it, the vintage collection that was announced today, I will probably be picking up. This is, it's an awesome, they're all awesome looking figures. And with this Vader, it has the finger point Vader that he gives to Leia. It had, that's one of the options with the hands.
That's awesome.
So this is the Vader I want to get now. I thought about getting one, the earlier version of this same Vader. This is now the Vader I'll get. The individual Vader, the Vader and the Stormtrooper are $16.99 each, whereas the Night Trooper set is $54.99. The Black Series set is $74.99. So at this point in time, to me, Vintage Collection wins the day.
Yeah.
But I did see, too, and Ken, you'll have to check it out, because I know, Derek, you don't have it at the moment, like you, as you've mentioned in the past. Ollie's has a big, they just put out a thing for a big Black Series buyout. The figures there are $9.99 each.
I have to look to see what they got.
Also, too, a big buyout on Marvel Legends figures.
They always have a huge selection of Marvel Legends there.
Other things that were announced today, Micro Galaxy Squadron N1 Starfighter, Episode 1. Imperial March Stormtroopers t-shirt on Amazon. It's not bad looking. Star Wars Classic Collection Oxford from Oxford Pennant. Villainous Revenge at Last expansion from Ravensburger for the Villainous setup. Dark Side Collection from SandCloud. I'm not sure who they are. The new Lego sets, which I saw the packaging. I saw the Panther 4 Lego set in the wild. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And A New Hope Funko Pop, Stormtrooper Funko Pop.
I saw the Tanto 4 and I saw one of the other ones too.
There was the Tanto, what I saw was the Tanto 4 set on the shelves. And then I saw in the display at Target, the Tanto 4 ship in the display box. Already, you know, a display.
Oh, yeah.
It looks gorgeous as well. A little bigger than I expected it to be. It was a little bigger than I expected it to be. So definitely worth the price.
Oh, I didn't realize that N1 Micro Galaxy comes with a little Annie.
Yeah. So, SandCloud, so I looked up their stuff. Okay. It's like blankets, beach blankets, party blankets, towels, stuff like that. Okay. That's cool. May look into this for when we go to the beach. Some cool stuff here. Not badly priced either. So, and then on top of that, making its way now, if you missed it on Shop Disney, which is now DisneyStore.com, you could pre-order the figure at Entertainment Earth. And that is the Black Series Doc Ondar.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's cool. They said this was a Disney Store Celebration 2023 exclusive, but it didn't come out at Celebration 2023. It came out later.
Was it available pre-order at Celebration, though?
Possibly, but it was also available on the store, and they even said it was going to be sold in the parks, because I have one, and I got mine at the parks. I didn't realize they sold out, because as far as I knew, they were still available at the parks, but you can now get them. I know they're sold out on the DisneyStore.com, which used to be Shop Disney. They rebranded back to DisneyStore.com.
I noticed there's a couple places that have done that, because for a long time, just about anybody who had an official merch shop, it was Shop Something.
Yeah.
I think everybody's just moving away from that, maybe just to differentiate themselves.
Could be. But now, it's sold out on the Disney online merch location, but you can now pre-order at Entertainment Earth. And it's a gorgeous figure. And it comes with a variety of accessories. It's got the sword that we see in the Galaxy's Edge comic. Both holocrons, Sith and Jedi. A clone trooper helmet. Soft goods. It's gorgeous. And if they have this, they now had the mold where they could do Maw from the Cantina scene. Or they could do the Jedi Ithorian that we see in Clone Wars. And I think even in the background of Attack of the Clones when we're in the temple. I think there's one walking around there too.
You can do a whole army of Ithorians.
I want some Mythorians. They're awesome. They could do the mayor from Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
They could almost take Doc Ondar and just do use the exact same soft goods pattern, just change the coloring of it. Because it almost looks exactly like Doc Ondar's outfit, just different color.
Yeah.
Because I want to say, Derek, you and I talked about that when that episode came out, because you had already been down to, you and I talked about it at the parks when you saw Doc for the first time, that you said changed the color of the costume, and it's the exact look of the mayor.
Yeah.
So, and then finally, Star Tours is getting an update.
Yeah.
Starting April 5th at Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, and Disneyland Paris, the new additions coming to your Star Speeder will be Ahsoka, Cassian Andor from Andor, and Din Djarin and Grogu from Mandalorian.
Cool.
They will be added to the urgent transmissions that may greet riders during their journey. So that now brings it up to six different greetings. Because the previous three was Princess Leia, Boba Fett, and Yoda. I think Boba Fett. I'm not positive. It's been a while. And then you can experience now more than 250 storyline variations board the attraction, including a visit to the planet Paridia. And it's the first since Keith Beer was added to celebrate the release of Star Wars Rise of Skywalker during the Season of the Force. Well, all these will debut during Season of the Force at Disneyland Resort April 5th. And in California for a limited time, now through June 2nd, you can also take a ride on Hyperspace Mountain, enjoy themed food and beverage, collect new merchandise and more. I do know at Disney Hollywood Studios, they also have a special shake. It's a vanilla caramel shake that has cinnamon bun on the side. To look like Princess Leia.
That's adorable.
So, let's now, J7, can you please get everything set?
All right, here are the mission debriefs. I'm sending to your terminals now.
Since we're doing the debriefs, it's the good, the bad, the nitpicky, and I tried last time to do it the way it should be done. I can't, so I'm going to turn it over to the master himself, the good, the bad, and the nitpicky.
All right, good, the bad, and the nitpicky. This is where we pick our... some things that we really liked from the episodes, some things perhaps we did not like or rubbed us the wrong way, and just, you know, the nitpickies, you know, just maybe little minor things that didn't really affect your enjoyment, but kind of gnawed at your brain like a mosquito. And I usually like to go... especially with Star Wars, I like to do end with the good. So we usually start with the nitpicky. So are we doing all of it together or?
Yep, we're going to take all three together.
Okay. So let's get into the nitpickies. Who would like to go first?
It was interesting with these episodes, not just to start off on this, not actually nitpicky yet, but it's interesting because really these are three episodes, but it's really just two episodes because the ones from this week. They're pretty much the first and second part of the same episode.
Yeah.
So it makes it a little bit easier to figure this out, but
true.
Not extremely easier. we got the return from last week. This week was where are we at? There. Infiltration and extraction.
Yep.
So
which was fun, but what when we first talked about the titles was nothing like what we were expecting.
Yeah.
That's true, yes.
Which was cool.
Yeah. All right, I guess I can start. Nitpicky. I think the only nitpicky I really had was, and it's funny because Wrecker even commented on it, is the giant worm. It's just like, I don't know, maybe because Dune just came out, but it's just like, everybody loves them giant worms, you know?
Yeah. Noticed that too, but I was like, wait a minute. I mean, I don't know if they knew that Dune 2 was going to come out at the same time as this, but
I'm sure,
like a sandworm.
Very sure they knew.
You think so?
I think so.
And again, it didn't, it's just a little nitpicky. It's just like everybody, you see giant worms a lot, really, if you think about it. And it didn't bother me at all. I just something I noticed.
Dunes, Tremors.
Yeah. Yes.
What's a graboids?
It was interesting because I went back and looked at the, since the actual episode guide is up for this one already, I went back and looked because it was interesting that we've been to this planet before.
Yep.
Crosshair was here when the base was actually active, but we didn't see anything about the sandworms before.
Right.
Well, I thought we did.
No, we never actually saw I think they had mentioned that there was there was predators out beyond the boundary or something, but that's about all you hear.
Yeah.
But I did see on the episode guide in the trivia gallery, they were talking about how when they were here on the episode previously, it was deeper into the winter. It's still cold and snowy, but they're starting to, the thaw's coming or something. So I guess the worms are more active in the warm temperatures.
Yeah.
That's according to the trivia gallery that they had up there. So it's either that or they just didn't have the worms created at that point.
Maybe a little of both.
Maybe. Yeah. Could be.
Yeah. Even at one point, Wrecker said, why are we always fighting giant monsters?
Because this, in the end, this is a kid's show.
Yes.
Kids like giant monsters.
Yes. And that's why it was only a nitpicky.
What about you, Ken?
I didn't really have much nitpickies other than the little bit we've just talked about there. I enjoyed that episode. The infiltration extraction, I think I enjoyed it a lot more. And it was just cool because the first episode there felt very much like this is a bridge. This, okay. Everybody, at the end of episode three, everybody was together. Episode four, you needed to show why is everybody working together still, not just they're in the same place.
Right.
So it was a nice bridge to be able to move forward. And then the episodes five and six, it felt more like, okay, now we're getting real information. We're moving the story forward.
Right. For me, my only nitpicky, and it really came out a little bit more in Extraction, but I've been thinking about it since the return. Why aren't they being a little harder on Crosshair? Just because Omega said to back off?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, it's still okay to bring him in, but why aren't you being a little bit harder on him?
Well, in the return, if you look, he actually saved their hides. Then you remember at the beginning of the return, they weren't ready to bring him in at all.
Right.
Hunter and Wrecker, well, Wrecker is just Wrecker. He's going to say whatever Hunter says.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
But Hunter wasn't ready to bring him in and accept him, other than the fact that Omega said bring him in. So, okay, I'm going to make Omega happy. But that's all it was.
Wrecker.
At the end of that episode, after Crosshair and Hunter had actually fought the worm together, I think it was one of those, he remembered why Crosshair was with him to start with.
Right. But, at the end of the return, you got Crosshair going, we need to talk.
Yeah.
Which is cool, fine. But I would still have, just because we talked, I would still be a little harder on it. Because knowing Crosshair, as they do, did he tell them everything? And then, of course, we see a bit more in Extraction. There's still more that's coming out.
Well, also, you see the Hunter and Wrecker, because of the way they wrote Infiltration and Extraction, you needed someone on Crosshair's side when you get there with Hauser and some of the other guys, the way they're training Crosshair.
Right.
You don't need Hunter to do that because Hauser's already doing it. Yeah. Story-wise, you need to, you know what I mean? You can't put everybody doing the exact same thing to Crosshair.
Yes and no. Yes and no.
Share ship. So.
Well, thing is, okay, see, I'll bring it up this way with like my brother and I. My brother and I will go to blows and I will be hard on him. If someone outside of the family starts getting hard on him unjustly, or I can't see the justification or the reasoning, I'm gonna stand up for my brother a little bit and definitely be more at his side, despite whatever's going on between the two of us. And I kind of almost see that Hunter still sees Crosshair as a brother. There's still some internal strife between the family and the brother, but I had no problems with how Hauser went after Crosshair when they met. I got a beef with you. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Hunter knew, okay, I need to stand back on this. I'm still going to protect my family. I'm still going to protect my brother. But at the moment, this is a legit beef that they need to work out. If it escalates beyond, I'm going to step in, which is kind of what he did when they got to the detention cell. I mean, Hunter was there protecting, but I think some of the heat, I was expecting to see more heat come from Hunter along the lines of what we were getting from Hauser. Because what we saw with Hauser and Rex is Hunter and Wrecker.
Yeah.
Because
you guys think in the previous episode in Returns, you did get that from them, or at least from Hunter.
Yeah, a little bit.
So it's one of those you got. Also, like I said before, this is a kid show. You can't stay on that for that long. If this was an adult show that or a 22 episode season, you could go 3 or 4 episodes of them back and forth on it a little bit.
Yeah.
But in 6 episodes, they got to move. They have to move forward. They can't stay on that. You know what I mean? Yes, yeah, we would have liked a little bit more. I agree. And flesh it out a little bit more, but they did show it happened.
See,
Now let's move on to the next thing.
I think you're underestimating kids a little bit.
Almost.
I think you're underestimating kids a little bit.
The writers and TV has done that for years. It's not nearly as bad as it used to be.
No, but could they carry that type of storyline through as a subplot for 2-3 episodes? Yes. WWE has proven it.
Well,
AEW has proven it, and kids watch that like crazy.
Yeah, but I don't.
So with this, they could do the same thing.
I don't think I'd want to see it for 2 or 3 episodes. Yeah,
I was happy to see that it happened.
I don't
ever move on.
No, I never said I wanted it as the main focus. I just wanted to feel a little bit more tension. I wanted it. What we got at the beginning of the return was great, but I still wanted to still see a little bit more uncertain, at least from Hunter. What I saw between Crosshair and Hauser and some of the others was great. That was perfect. I was satisfied there. I want to see Hunter still show a little less trusting of Crosshair.
We may get some more of that going in other parts later on.
Which I hope we do. To be honest with you, I hope we do. So my nitpicking may be a little premature.
Yeah.
Well, no, because we're doing it for these 3 episodes. So
yeah.
Yeah. But I'm also listening to what you guys have to say. So like I said, it may be if we see it further down the road, I may have been premature now.
I can see both sides of it. I see what you're saying. But I also see, I don't want it to become too much of a focus either, or that's what it becomes about.
Yeah, that, and even as a minor thing, in 22-minute episodes, that would take a lot of space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I can see it, but hopefully they'll present a situation where it gets brought up of, okay, what else are you not telling us?
It very well might.
So.
All right. Let's move on to the bad. I honestly can't think of anything bad for these episodes. I don't think I have anything. What about you guys?
Nothing really annoyed me, or I didn't have anything that I just disliked.
Here I come.
Uh-oh.
Bad. They still haven't truly addressed the tremor in Crosshair's hand.
I heard a theory about that.
What's caused that? What is the backstory to that? We've gone 4 episodes now with it.
We're going to get that.
I will say
it's being dragged out a little too much.
Yeah, I can see that. But I will say also, at least they haven't forgotten about it.
Yeah.
No, they keep leaving it there, which is great. But it's
but they're not.
It's now getting to a point. What's happened? And why isn't he seeking treatment for it if it's something that could be treated?
I think we did get information about that this week, though, because when the shadow clone or whatever it was sees Crosshair, and you find out he was trained to be part of their squad of these elite
infiltrators,
the shadow infantry or whatever they are.
Which I want either Vintage Collection or Black Series.
Well,
character of that.
Those are sleeper agent clones that are totally brainwashed.
Well, there's another nitpicky. Like,
What's happening with his hand is a mental thing. I don't wonder
if
it's physical or if it's actually a mental tick that he's got going right now.
Right.
Could be.
Because I've heard a theory about it being on a physical side, too, because I never noticed it. But I guess if you check out Hawthorne, he only wears 1 glove.
Yeah.
So
wait, Hawthorne. Say that
whatever they. Huh?
Oh,
Dr. Hawthorne, and it's running the clone stuff.
Yeah.
He's only got 1 glove on. Maybe. And we found out that the nerve gas stuff from last year that they knocked out Crosshair with was designed to take out clones. And Hawthorne said he had an immunity to it because he created the stuff and he had already been exposed to it.
Right.
So what? Now, this wasn't my theory. This was actually from I was listening to RFR, like I said earlier. But one of the guys, one of the listeners there came up with this theory that a possibility that maybe that's a side effect of that gas. And when Hawthorne was exposed to it, he has either the tremble or some kind of deformity to his hand. And Crosshairs came out as that tick.
Right. My other thought initially, and again, this is where I would like to know some backstory behind what the tick is. The tick doesn't bother me that it's there. I just want to know. That's my bad. They've touched on it. They've shown it for 4 episodes now.
Yeah.
They haven't.
Well,
he's trying to get through it.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's bothering him so much. Why hasn't he addressed this with Hunter as well?
Because it's a weakness.
Or with.
Exactly. He's afraid to show weakness.
But right. my thought is, what if that was the hand they kept taking blood samples out of?
Yeah, but everybody had blood samples taken out of the same hand the whole time, and nobody else has this problem.
But if it's a mental thing.
Omega had the same amount of blood samples drawn.
But
if it's a mental thing, though, it could be a result of that.
And we're also talking, too, all the other clones are made the same.
Yeah.
Crosshair is not like the other clones.
Well, technically, he was made the same as them.
Right.
The mutation was supposedly random. No, I think it is a mental thing, and it has to do with a type of PTSD or something with that training that he washed out of.
Could be.
Because you got to think, they did remove his, I'll go all the way back to the beginning. His chip is not there. He doesn't have the chip, but it's still activated that he wanted to be the soldier training right. Still kicked in. So without the chip, he was doing the same thing that happened with the chip soldiers.
Right.
So he already had problems to start with. And then they're trying to brainwash him with his brain is already partially scrambled. Mm-hmm. I think that's where this is coming from. So like I said, every episode we make it just a little bit like we did today where we find out, oh, he was going through this elite training and washed out of it. Well, next week, we find out something else that, you know what I mean? We're learning. I think we're going to learn his backstory over the length of the season.
Right.
Instead of throwing it all at us at once.
Now, the infiltrator said you washed out. Maybe that's what they were told.
Possibly.
But you look at, you know, but the line from Crosshair in Extraction was, you know, what's the difference? It goes loyalty. I thought I was loyal to them.
Right.
And that was always his mindset, chip or no chip. He was going to be loyal to the command. The command went from the Senate to the Empire. He was going to follow that command no matter what.
Good soldiers follow orders.
That's the way he was taught. That didn't come, even though the chips embedded it a bit more, it was not, that was his train of thought to begin with. And then he said, what changed was they weren't loyal back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw what, and he was starting to see the truth.
Yeah, that's when it was a little more than them not being loyal. They
yeah. Well, I mean, that's what's that actually when you get to the end of this of Extraction and you see Wolf talking to Rex, it brings that back around again because Rex is pointing that specific idea out to Wolf.
Yeah.
Right.
And I found it, and I'm going to go ahead and jump us to the good.
Yeah.
The good for me was seeing Wolf, and I was pleasantly surprised that Wolf is in charge now of the commandos.
Mm.
And at the moment, he serves the Empire.
I don't think that's going to last for long.
I don't think it's going to last long either.
Three of them was mentioned in this episode, Gregor, Wolf, and Rex. And if you remember right,
Gregor's at the very end.
Who was with Rex when we meet him in Rebels? It was the three of them on that Walker fishing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure Wolf's probably going to get in trouble for letting Rex and the Bad Batch go. So
now for me, I'm curious to want to know, are the commandos that are with Rex, are they clones or are they the new recruits, Imperial recruits that have become commandos?
With Wolf? That are with Rex?
I mean, not with Rex, with Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
The commandos are the ones with the big, like, space armor, right?
Yeah. They look like the gang from Delta Squad from Republic Commando video game. It's the same armor. It's just, it's now all white. The only one that I'm aware that still has colored armor are the commanders, like, or the maybe squad leaders, like Scorch. Scorch is still in his colored armor. Everyone else around him is all Imperial white.
Well, yeah, if you look, all the regular troopers there, other than Wolf, all had the basic clone trooper armor.
And then there was Hilo, who was with Wolf, that has some coloring to him. I couldn't tell exactly what the coloring was, so I'm hoping in the stills gallery we get pictures of that, or it eventually pops up later where we get more visual of Hilo. But everyone else was all white in the commandos, the Imperial commandos, even though it's the Republic commando armor. That armor never changed at this stage in the game. So my question is, are they clones, or is that squad a mix of clones and new recruits, or the new Imperial army combined?
I believe it's a mix, and I believe the clones outrank the, in that squad at least, the clones outrank the non-clones, or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. Well, also, it was interesting that in this, you see, you get Wolf with a whole squad of what looks like it's all mostly clones, where earlier in other seasons and stuff, they were showing where the troopers were totally phasing out clones and getting rid of clones. You see, this strike squad was all clones still.
Right.
So the clones are still active.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's almost walked back on what they were doing before a little bit.
Well,
or it could be just for specialized stuff. The rank and file troopers are not ready yet for this type of mission.
I think it's that rank and file aren't ready yet, because we're seeing, especially this season, we're seeing a lot more of the commandos than we are regular troops.
Yeah.
And it almost seems like any clones that was in the phase two armor are being switched over to commando armor because of that, and that the clones are being thrown into the commando armor, because I think, one, it'll be easier in the future when it comes time to get rid of to wipe out the clones. You identify them better because they're the ones in the commando armor. Get rid of them, and then here's our new Imperial commandos in their new armor. So
I have to say that I really enjoyed these three episodes. I thought they were really good, especially the last two. Especially after the first few episodes, which are a little downer for me, a little depressing, as I said before.
Right.
I mean, this is much better.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a little slow.
Not that they were slow, that they were like just like the prison, you know. It's just like,
yeah, I mean, they could have been combined. I think we talked about it.
Yeah,
they could have been combined. We did talk about it, because I said one and three could have been combined into one episode.
Right.
And two standalone. And that they should have started with two first.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay.
One thing, though, Vicky and I both said when we were watching tonight's episodes, and it's cool because Bad Batch, it's the Clone Wars started in 07 or 08 is when we first started that. And it's cool because when you come back to one of the Filoni-led animated series, basically you got the three. You got Clone Wars, Bad Batch, and Rebels. It's almost like you're coming home to Star Wars. That after the Lucas era of Star Wars movies was done, and other than the movies, this has been what's basically kept Star Wars storytelling steady for the last 14 years or so.
Yeah.
It feels right. I'm hoping when Bad Batch is done, they have something else. The live action shows are cool. Even the Favreau Filoni ones are awesome, but doesn't have the same feel as what these are. These just feel like this is Star Wars.
We still need the young adult based animated film or animated series.
So I'm hoping, since he's in, I'm hoping we get, because the other animated shows they've done other than those three haven't been the same visual quality. They've not been, you know what I mean? I'm hoping we get whatever comes next. actually has the standards of what these shows have had.
Okay, so let me pose this question. What would you want next for animation?
As long as it's solid and it's moving with a good story ahead and it's quality animation and stuff, they could do it anywhere they want. And it wouldn't bother me.
That's not the question.
I know.
I asked a question, mister.
I'm not picky.
Well, I've said it before. I want more stories from the time between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens.
Yeah.
There's a big chunk of time there. And doing it in as animated series, you could do Han, Luke, Leia, and not worry about, you know, the actors too old for the parts or whatever.
Right. Well,
you could actually do a series of Luke learning about the history of the Jedi Order.
And with Leia, you've got a great voice talent who does her voice already with Shelby Young.
Right. I would love to see some of that and see some. They could bring in some of the great stories from the expanded universe.
Yeah.
From that time period as well.
And if you bring in Luke, I mean, you got a guy who can, a voice actor who does a phenomenal Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
Who would that be?
I don't know. I guess he also does a Joker, I've been told.
Oh, that guy's a hack. He's only good at doing the Joker. He can't do Luke.
Oh, and Skeletor, too. I've heard he does Skeletor.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he does a pretty decent, Skeletor.
I mean, that's great, but he can't do anything in Star Wars.
No.
Joking, folks. Joking. I know it's Mark Hamill.
Who we're talking about? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Sebastian Stan. There we go. For me, I want to see, I do want to see what you're talking about, Derek, but since we're also getting the Acolyte, I would love to see the stuff from that time period leading up to the Phantom Menace.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Or even
because there's even a broader gap there that could be covered with a lot of stories.
You could even go to the other side of a little bit farther, different part of the universe while Bad Batch and all that stuff's going on. And maybe since Solo doesn't look like we're going to get anything else out of that storyline on the big screen, continue it in animation. All the stuff that we talked about with the a lot of it in comics already, but continue the story there also. See, the Crimson Dawn and stuff.
That brings up the other one I would love. I would love to see them take inspiration from the Bounty Hunters comics.
Yeah.
And go animated with that.
Yeah, that would be great. I would love that.
And that could still take place during the original trilogy era and also carry on forward into towards Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
Of just the bounty hunters guild, the different bounty hunter guilds.
Right.
That actually reminds me a little bit something here because Vicky was thinking inside that mask when we first see the guy trying to take out the senators, that maybe that was Fennec Shand because we know she's going to be in here somewhere. Or Asajj Ventress because we know both of those are supposed to be here in this season at some point. But what's the how cool would it be? Because we know at this point Asajj is in the middle, kind of like where Ahsoka sees herself.
Yeah.
What's the chances? Because we know at this point it's confirmed. Omega's force sensitive, or she's got the midichlorians.
She has midichlorians. We don't know how force sensitive she is yet.
That they bring in Asajj to actually teach her a couple things. And Asajj Ventress trains her, not trains her as a Jedi or as a Sith or anything, just enough so that all she's able to know what she's doing when she actually feels the force.
Who's to say?
How crazy would that be?
Who's to say Asajj doesn't end up taking on Omega's own free will, take Omega on as an apprentice, like Baylan did with Shin, like Ahsoka did with Sabine.
Yeah.
And then maybe we see Omega pop up here later in the future if Asajj is still around and we eventually see Asajj live action as well. We see Asajj.
Make it out
at
the end of this season.
Right.
I'll be honest. Asajj is such a stylized character in animation that I'd be a little concerned about how she'd come off in live action.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to see her in live action.
You're going to see in this season she has hair.
Well, yeah.
So that can make, and I think, well, one, they did that in the comics as well, but I think that would also make it easier to portray her live action in the modern time period if they decide to bring her in as another fallen Jedi.
Hmm.
or another fallen force user.
Interesting.
I think whatever they do with Asajj, though, they are going to, because if I remember, didn't they say they're going to, somehow they're going to keep it canon where she dies? So I don't know if they're going to adjust the time frame or what, because they said there was something like they're going to, they will address that she's actually already supposed to be dead.
Yeah.
So she's not going to make it much past this one way or the other.
Unless she, quote unquote, died to carry on incognito further down the road. So, yes, it is Asajj for those who know her, but she's trying to convince them, no, I'm no longer Asajj. I'm someone else. The Asajj you knew is dead.
Well, I got a really, sort of like, really crazy.
Sort of like Anakin and Darth Vader. Anakin's dead. It's Darth Vader.
Well, I have a tinfoil hat idea that just popped in my head when you were saying about not being Asajj.
Oh, boy.
What's in the vault? It's a clone of something. What's the weird chance that they've actually, they succeeded and cloned Asajj Ventress? And the Asajj we've seen in all this stuff is actually a clone of the original Asajj.
I don't think so.
Tell me how crazy that would. Yeah, but
that would be crazy.
That's crazy.
Everybody in the world would go bananas for that. You know they would.
If that,
how do you keep her dead and keep and bring her back?
I have not heard that theory or seen that theory anywhere. So if it happens, you heard it here first.
Yeah. At this point, everybody's assuming, and I got my money on it, that Grogu's in the vault.
No, I'm still thinking it's Palpatine. I'm still thinking it's Palpatine in the vault.
I don't know, because they had, the closest thing he had to a successful clone is what we got at Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, but
what's in the vault is successful.
But this is still all tying in with, at this point in time, they might as well call Forced Unleashed canon. Because Forced Unleashed was involving creating a Force-sensitive clone along with the Emperor's clones, where he was cloning himself.
See, we know this is the reason they're doing all these cloning experiments is to so that Palpatine can have a clone.
Right. But
he does not succeed. We know this by the time you get to Rise of Skywalker, the clonia there is still hooked up to everything because it cannot live on its own.
Right.
The body. So whatever's in the vault, though, they're showing it off to the Emperor because it's actually working. Right. Whatever it is. So that's why my money's on its Grogu. But out of left field, it would be phenomenal if out of nowhere they surprised everybody and it's Asajj Ventress.
And if it's not Asajj, Starkiller would be the other way I would go.
Let me ask you guys an opinion question. Do you think that Palpatine came up with the idea of cloning himself and then created and then went with the whole clone army thing? Or did he create the clone army and then realize he could clone himself, possibly?
I thought it had been discussed in canon that it was that Palpatine wanted to create clones of the Jedi, and it didn't succeed. So they found the new source, and that's where the clones were working. And that's when they had Jango for all that, and that was all done under the guidance of
Under the name of Sifo-Dyas, even though he had
under Sifo-Dyas, but it was done with Dooku,
right?
I don't know. I know.
Because Dooku's involved in all that.
Yeah. Everything about the cloning and since the beginning, since he was first an apprentice, it's just part of the Sith that you're trying to figure out how to get power and keep power as long as possible.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So he may not have. I don't think he actually had anything because you got to remember, he was still a first time senator pretty much by the time we get to Phantom Menace.
Right.
He was still basically a young senator there. So he had probably nothing to do with the creation of the clone arm.
No, I think he did.
I'm wondering if he got if he saw that and then got the idea, wait, this is how I can retain power and keep power and stay in forever. I can keep my legacy going.
That's because what I'm wondering. Was it that or was it the other? Or was it that he wanted to clone himself so he went forward with the whole clone?
I think he
got the idea from the clones.
No, I think he wanted. Because the cloning didn't start until right after the events of Phantom Menace. So remember, the clones are technically only 10 years old by the time we get to Attack of the Clones, and it's a 10-year gap between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
And we saw that's when Dooku went to the dark side. It was at the end because Qui-Gon was killed. in something senseless, as he felt. And he sides with Palpatine because it's shortly after we see him, you know, we see him erase the Kamino from the archives before, I believe, before he goes out to Kamino to start the cloning. And I think they wanted to start cloning Jedi first because Palpatine wanted to bring back the Sith armies. It's my is my thought, my tinfoil theory, etc. Is he wanted to bring back the Sith army to go against the Jedi, to take the Jedi out.
It's kind of an interesting thought. About
taking out the Jedi, because I think he already understood he was taking the Jedi out already. They were already on their way down by the time you get to that.
Right. But who could be the new peacekeepers?
Yeah.
The Sith. The Sith arm.
Well,
it didn't work. For whatever reason, the Kamonians cannot get, at the early stages, cannot get the
midichlorian
to work right.
That's
why they kept working and kept working and kept working while they were producing the Mandalorian clones.
Well, you gave me another tinfoil hat idea that, because I've never been able to see the whole idea of Starkiller as the clone. But wait a minute.
Right at the beginning of the game, he's a clone.
Well, I know. No. In the show so far, when Hemlock was first introduced, remember, I've been calling him not Sam Witwer the whole time because he looks so much like Witwer. What's the chances that in the vault is a clone of Hemlock that he figured out how to add the midichlorian count to? Is Starkiller is Hemlock, except you have Sam Witwer do it and it looks just like Witwer.
Very well could be. Very well could be.
There's a very striking resemblance between the two.
Yeah, because, see, I'm almost surprised Witwer's not even doing the voice of Hemlock.
Yeah, but we see Starkiller be an actual Hemlock clone.
Could be. Because there has always been speculation that each governor or each Moff wanted their own clone army. And that's what made up Stormtroopers and brought Stormtroopers. It was their own clones of what they wanted.
Hmm.
There was more diverse cloning going on, but they were still clones, along with regular conscription.
Well, by episode 16, we're going to know what's in the vault. That's just part of the story of this.
So we got
a month and a half?
Yep. And right now, the theories are theories coming from this show. Grogu, Starkiller, or Asajj. All of them very plausible and very well could happen. So we'll have to see. On that note, any final thoughts, gentlemen?
I actually had one because I found a news story, but go ahead. Do you got anything, Derek?
I was going to say I'm very concerned about who's going to survive the end of this series and who won't.
I think I have an idea what your final thought is, Ken.
Why? Did you see this other news story that popped up?
Yeah, I think so. If it's the same one.
It's something that we were all disappointed because it was canceled. It's dead in the water. Never happened. It's
the same story. Go ahead.
Patty Jenkins was actually on the Talking Pictures podcast with Ben Minkowitz this week. And out of the realm of it'll never happen in a million years, Rogue Squadron is back on the schedule.
Really?
Yep.
According to Patty Jenkins, now that Wonder Woman 3 is dead, it's never going to happen because James Gunn Peter Safran are actually restarting the DC universe and restarting all that. Her schedule is totally wide open. She's back writing and directing Rogue Squadron. The quote they have here is, so when I left Star Wars to do Wonder Woman 3, I thought maybe I'll come back to Star Wars after Wonder Woman 3. So we did a deal for that to happen, started a deal, but I thought I was doing Wonder Woman. When that went away, Lucasfilm and I were like, oh, we got to finish this deal. We finished the deal right as the strike was happening. So I now owe a draft of Star Wars. And so we will see what happens there. Who knows? So she's planning on doing Rogue Squadron again.
Yep.
So that comes out of nowhere. And it's interesting because Random House Audio has been re-releasing a lot of remastering and re-releasing some of the Rogue Squadron books.
Yep.
So I'm wondering if this wasn't already in the works and Lucasfilm said, hey, why don't you put a couple of these ones out?
Very well could be.
Out of nowhere, and didn't tell anybody why, just said, hey, why don't you just take a couple of these out?
Yep.
And gauge some of it was to gauge the reaction to see if people are actually interested in those. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I'm going to turn it over to J7.
Gentlemen, sounds like there's only one thing left to be said.
Give the evacuation code signal.
All right, cut the chatter.
Jax, I can hold it.
Pull out!
No, I'm all right.
I have placed information vital to the survival of the rebellion into the memory systems of this R2 unit.
I've lost R2.
Fine, man.